All right. So we started. Where is it? I involve on the base.
Yeah.
I involve on the base on the Mishnah of defining the Maisa Hariga. Everyone there, Rogan. And the Mishnah brings up two cases. The Gemara discusses the chiddush of each case. First case is where the person is under the water and you keep him there. Put your hand on his head and you prevent him from lifting his head up. And he tries to get up and you're preventing him and he dies. That's one case. And the other case is where you push him into a situation, you push him into the mayim that is really escapable. The person really could get out of it. But for whatever reason, he was unlucky that day and he was unable to remove himself from the situation and he died. In that case, the Mishnah says you're puppet. So the Gemara discusses the chiddush of each case. It says, what's the chiddush of the first case? That since you didn't, even though you didn't push him there, but since he can't get up because of your interference, then you're chayev. Right? And as you might think, that's the chiddush of reisha, right? That you didn't put him in the situation. And what's the chiddush of the sefer? Even though you pushed him, you put him in a situation, but since he was able, theoretically, he was able to get out, you're patur. And that, Rashi says, is because you're pata, because you didn't do a mice, a shir misa. As the mice you did was not really the shir misa. Other factors contributed to his death. Bad luck. I don't know what happened, whatever it was. Okay, but anyway, so we were going back to the first case. So the Gemara says, where do you learn the first case? Where do you learn the chiddush of the first case from? From the pasuk O Be'eva. Oh, it was a riboy. That even the mitzamtzim is chayev. Okay, and that's the case of mitzamtzim. That he constricts him from moving, and therefore he dies. But he doesn't do the maisa of putting him into the mayim. And then we just mentioned, if you go further in the Gemara says there's a machlokas about mitzamtzim by nezikin. Ravina says, just like you're chayev by Ritzicha, you'll be chayev by Nezikin. And Ravacha bar Rav says you're pater by Nezikin. Because there's a miut of Rotzeachu. So we said that the machlokas really, the machlokas is not about the miut, the machlokas is really about the riboy. Is it a riboy that's shayach to have a miyat? In other words, before the pasuk, so you have to have certain basic concepts of culpability of maisa. Without the pasuk at all, you'd say you only chayav as a rotzeach or as a mazik or anything when you do the maisa yourself. So mitzamtzim, for whatever reason, is not considered the maisa. Okay? So then, and all grama is not considered the maisa. Okay? But, although you have those big division of doing the maisa and just being a gorim of the maisa, there is something that conceptually falls into a category that's close to the Maisa. It's not technically, doesn't technically meet the requirements of the Maisa, but it's also not a mere grumma. Okay? And we have to define that category. That's the category of mitzamtzim. That really is the theoretical landscape over here. That you have the clear idea of Maisa, you have a clear idea of Grama, and then there's something that is part that's close to Maisa, but not. It still would seem to be, it partakes of an element of Grama and it partakes of an element of Maisa. So when the Gemara learns a Riboy, the Riboy will include the next closest entity, the next closest category to Maisa. Right, in other words, Plameshot is Yechayev when you do a Maisa. Now the Torah is telling you not only when you do a Maisa, but also something else. So how do you know what to include in the Riboy of O? It's because you already had a concept of something close to Maisa. Right? And Metzamtzem is that thing which is close to Maisa. So that's really what we're interested in thinking about. How do you define Maisa, Grama, and something close to Maisa? The Machlokas of Ravina and Rav Acha is really, it's premised on this. It's a separate question. When the Torah includes Metzamtzem, how is it being included? Is it now including and updating our idea of Maisa, saying don't think that this is part of Grama, this is really part of Maisa? But if that's the case, then when it comes to Nezik, it will be the same thing. Because if it's defining Maisa, it's defining Maisa. And it's even a Kal v'chomer. But if you'll say, but you could learn that the Torah is saying something else. It's not saying that this is Maisa of Rotzeach, but the Din Rotzeach even includes the case of Metzamtzem. Not redefining universally Maisa and Grama, but it's including in the Din of Rotzeach even a case that's not technically Maisa, even the case of Metzamtzem. Why? Because of the Chomer Inyan of Ritzicha. But that wouldn't apply to Nezikin. Okay? But anyway, but our challenge is to understand Maisa and differentiate it from Grama and differentiate Grama in general from Metzamtzem. Okay? Good? All right. I hope I didn't bore you too much with that review. Just happened to see a very interesting Gemara this morning. Take a quick look over here. On Samach Beis, and luckily it's in the same Sefer. Samach Beis Amud Aleph. No, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. It's at the two dots from the first two dots from the top. Oh, like 15 lines in. So like this. Hamakablo olov be'aloa ha'omer lo eili ata. So it's talking about Avodah Zarah. So if someone says, if someone accepts an Avodah Zarah as a deity, and he says, you are my God, then he's chayv misa. Okay? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravu, Omer Rav, Kevan Shomer lo, Kevan Shomer lo eili ata chayv. So Rav said, once he says, Eliyata Yechayev. So what's the problem with that? The problem is, this is the Mishnah. Right?
He's just repeating
the Mishnah. What is he adding? Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the thing where he asks, Lamai, what is he talking about? If he's talking about Misa, that's the Mishnah. You don't need Rav to tell us the Mishnah. Ella, it's for a carbon. If you did avodas, if you were makabel eloa b'shogeg, Rav is telling you you'll be chayav a carbon. How do you do a b'shogeg? You didn't know it was aser. Interesting. Look, but that's the idea. Now, what's the problem with this? The Gemara says vafilu l'rabbanan, even according to the rabbanan. So, what are the basic requirements of carbon chatas? There are four basic requirements for a carbon chatas. Okay, you have to do it b'shogeg, that we know. Has to be kares b'mezud. Has to be a lav. And has to be a maisa. Okay? So that's what the Gemara is wondering about. It says, are you telling me that according to the Rabbanon you'll be chayev achatas, but the Rabbanon say, Eino chayev el al davar sheish b'maisa, kegon zivuach v'kiter v'nisuch.
V'hishtachavo. Oh, interesting. They only be chayev on a maisa, like what? Like slaughtering, burning incense, pouring. Okay, that's a real good, genuine maisa. Okay. But then it says v'hishtachavo. V'omer Reish Lakish man tana hishtachavo. Who includes bowing? Rabbi Akiva. That must be Rabbi Akiva. The Omar Lobo Inan Maisa. Because Rabbi Akiva says you don't need a Maisa.
How is Hishtachaba not a Maisa?
Okay. Mechlal de Rabbanan Savri Bo Inan Maisa. So one second. It got very confusing very quickly. But the Gemara is saying, who is Rav talking about? Is he talking about the Rabbanan? But speech would be a non-maisa, right? Now, what is speech? And Reish Lakish says bowing is only chayav chatas according to Rabbi Akiva. But the Rabbanan need a maisa, and bowing is not a maisa. So the Gemara says no. He was talking about Rabbi Akiva too. So now the Gemara is equating. Now the Gemara is saying there's something that's called Maisa, like Shechita. And then there's something we're calling non-Maisa, like bowing, and that's equal to speaking. Okay? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi clarifies things. Very confusing there, Rashi. He says like this. V'hatanya, he says, V'hatanya, Eino chayev el al davar shish b'maisa. D'gabi chatas k'siv v'oso achas mikol mitzvot Hashem. So the Gzeiras HaKosev that says you need a Maisa. He says, and he did, but also. Rabbi Akiva he da'amad lo ba'inan Maisa gomor. Rashi adds in the word gomor. It's Rabbi Akiva who says you don't need a full Maisa. De'megadev mechayev mishum Maisa zuta. Megadev yechayev for a small action. That's like Birkas Hashem, a blasphemy. The akimas sefosov havi maisa, because moving your lips is an action, a small action. Pays to be a ventriloquist in this situation. V'hochonami kififas komoso havi maisa, and that's also bowing, is also a maisa, but a maisa zuta, right? Like moving your lips. V'hai dekatani eino chayev ella al dover sheyesh bo maisa. But apparently everybody has to agree with that because that's the pasuk va'osa. Right? La'afuki hirhura de'lo mechayev ala. That excludes hirhur that you're not chayev on. So it comes out now that Rashi's explaining like this, that there are three categories of maisa. There are three categories at least. There's something that we can say is no maisa at all. Like a person thinks in his mind that this thing is his God. Certainly is asur, right? Certainly is asur. But he wouldn't bring a chatas if he did that bishogi, right? Comes to the base and he says, look, I didn't know it, made a big mistake, but I've been thinking in my mind every day, accepting this thing as my God. So they would say, wrong, tshuva, you gotta stop that. But there's no chatas, because you didn't do a maisa. Okay? But then, and then there's the clear, then there's the full maisa, like shchita, that everybody agrees is a maisa. Then there's this middle category, which Rabbi Akiva considers a maisa, and the Rabbanan don't. And that's what we're calling a maisa zuta category, the small maisa. What's the Maisa Zuta category? Moving your lips or bowing down? Okay? So what is the difference between a Maisa Gomor, like Rashi calls it, and of Shechita, and the Maisa Zuta of Akima Sosai? And can we define this Machlokas? I think this is helpful to our situation. Yeah. In other words, full Maisa, when we say Maisa Gomor, it seems that it means to say it includes the person's involvement, right? but in, and some type of an object that he is altering or changing with his action. Right? In other words, there's an action of the gavra that affects something. That's what we mean by a full maisa. Right? Full maisa, it means that there's an action with some sort of a product, some sort of an effect. As the person is the subject and some object, right? Making something, changing something, pouring something. Those are full maisa. The gavra is an agent of something else. Okay? So that's what the Rabbanan learned. The osa means, the typical sense of maisa, means that there is some effect that he's creating with his body, right, with his guf. But Rabbi Akiva says it's enough to be chayav achata. Says that may be true in general. That's what we call a maisa in general. Right? Well, did you do something? Right, I did something. I changed something. I created something. I had some product. There was some effect of what I did. But for chatas, for Bikiva holds, all you really need, all the measure of maisa is a measure of involvement, of the gavra. So therefore, he holds, maisa zuta means it's just the involvement, the physical involvement of the individual is all that's required to be chayav chatas. Doesn't need maisa in terms of effect.
Oh yeah, you heard.
No, that's not the level of involvement. No, there's a certain, when you get to action, that's a certain degree of involvement. So when the Torah says you're only going to be chayev on a, Torah is limiting cases where you're chayev in chatas, saying you're only chayev when you do. Okay, but Rabbi Akiva is saying doing the maisa is a shear in the gavra. It's not a shear. It's not a din in the fact that it has to be some effect, but here a belave doesn't require a maisa chatas of kapar. Only when you're active with the iser is that considered to be a chiyuv chatas. In other words, in a lot of things we say it's an internal process. The internal Maisa here represents an external manifestation, but in the realm of the Gavra's involvement, not in the realm of effect on the world.
So I guess that's how it would play into our case? Like how we.
One second. You got what I'm trying to say, Matt?
I understand the first part.
So we're trying to say like this. In other words, we're trying to say like this. Let's try to universalize it a little bit more. I was just saying Maisa means an external... Maisa means that there is some external, that there is some manifestation. Maisa requires some manifestation, some effect. Okay, let's just say it the other way for a minute. In other words, in general, we say Maisa means two or three parts. I'm not sure exactly, two or three parts. There's the doer, and then there's the effect, right? That's right. Okay, that part you're good on. Okay, so therefore the Rabbanan say, Akim, if you speak, there's no return, there's no effect. Or you bow, what did you do? You didn't do anything to any, there's no object that you're affecting with your action, so it lacks in maisa.
What if it affects yourself?
Oh, that's what, like a stain on your soul. So, I mean, if you killed yourself, that would be maisa. Who's killing who? That was a good question. But therefore the Rabbanan say, Megadev v'nishtachavo is not maisa, right? Good?
Right.
Rabbi Akiva says, the Torah is not using maisa here in the general sense. The Torah is not using maisa here in the normal sense of maisa. Normal sense of maisa is a shear of your involvement in the world, a shear of of effect that you had in an object, right? Okay. But over here, in order to be chayav achatas, it's really for the chait. The chait really is totally an internal process, right? So the only qualification that Maisa has, according to Rabbi Akiva, is saying it has to rise to some manifestation in order to be chayav achatas. But that doesn't require Maisa gomor. All that requires is Maisa zuta, that there's some manifestation of the chait. So Akima Sifosayim itself is Maisa Zuta. Why is it called Maisa Zuta? Because it's the Gavra's action acting without an effect on another object. But that's only required when we're measuring the person's involvement on another object. Here we're using the Maisa as a shear in his chait. Like, how much did his chait rise to a point where it affected his action? Only that type of a chait, only that incurs chatas. If you want to put it in a philosophical way, you could say an internal error can be remedied with tshuva. But once it comes to an external event, now it requires a process of kapara, chatas. Okay? As long as it was internal, it was a chait, but the process of tshuva is internal as well. Right? Now that's their machlokas. When you require the karbon, when you require the kapara of chatas, and it's associated with maisa, is it simply because you were active in the avera? Or is it because there was an effect of your avera? But being active in the avera would be enough, just like kima svasayim. That's also active in the avera. You did the avera in an active way, as a gavra of action. You did the avera. How? Because it moved you to an action. But the point I'm trying to make is that from here we see that you define. From here, the point I'm trying to make is that it's breaking up maisa zuta and maisa gomer, and in the process, it's identifying the elements of a full maisa. And differentiating that from what they're calling a partial maisa, right? Full maisa is the gavra's involvement in affecting something else. What they're terming as a maisa zuta is just the action of the gavra, even though it doesn't have an effect on something else. And the question is, by chatas, is that the measure of maisa, or is it the regular measure of maisa? Yeah. So let's apply it over here. So in other words, a full maisa of hariga would be what? Let's define a full maisa of hariga. It would be that. What are the elements of a maisa of hariga? You have the victim, right? And you have the agent of his death, right? So the full maisa hariga would be that the individual
the causative agent of the death of the victim.
What would be the maisa? What would be a class of simple maisa hariga? Is that the person actively delivers the agent of death to the victim, right?
Don't you have to add in another step, though?
Go ahead.
Because then I don't understand the case where the person's already in the water.
Well, we don't know. We don't understand. No. Exactly. That's exactly right.
That's something I think you have to add in another
no,
step.
No. It's exactly what we don't want to understand right now. We want to say why that case would not normally come under the category of hariga, and you need a riboy for it. So we want to get the first definition that doesn't include that case. In other words,
that's what I'm trying to do.
So if the guy was already in the water, it wouldn't come under this definition. randomly seems to go off on someone. Yeah.
whenever Matt's aggressive.
Don't you have to say that you put them in the situation?
Like a knife?
In other words, play back any good murder, right? So the knife went into, you find the guy with the knife in his chest. So just play the movie back. So that was the knife. Turns out the knife was the agent of his death.
Okay.
Was the medium of his death, or the method of his death. Let's say the method of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find the guy who put it into his chest, right? So that guy who took the knife brought the, provided the method of death. He actively he actively was mekarev the maimus to the gavra.
Okay.
Right?
Well, like that, let's say with a fist, that would be the medium?
The fist would be the medium.
That would be the method? Okay, fine.
There's some method of death. There's some means by which this person died.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the Maisa Hariga was where the person brought the means to the, where the Rotseach brought the means to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no difference if he brings the means to the individual or the individual to the means. If he takes a person and plunges him on top of a knife, there's no difference. Because by bringing the person to the knife, he brought the agent of death to the individual. No difference between those two cases. Right? Does that make sense or no?
Yeah.
Would you argue that there's a difference between those two cases? If you argue that, then we can't move.
The death, I don't
right. think. His maisa is bringing the medium to the guy. What's the difference if he's actively moving the knife or moving the guy? Okay? So you have his involvement. And what is his involvement doing? His involvement is bringing the method, the maimus to the gavra. Okay? That's fine. At least it's a way we can talk about it. You might want to brush it up. But at least it's a way we can talk about it. So now what's the case where the guy's head is under the water already and you hold him there, right? That's our question. Oh, so what would be a grumma? Let's just talk about a general grumma. So let me just give you an example of a general grumma. What would be an example of a general grumma? Let's say you put a rock in the way, in the street, and somebody walks, trips on it, and dies.
Okay.
That's a grumma. Right? Or even if you build a trap, the guy who stepped on it fell through and died. A hole.
Wait, that's a grumma?
It would still be a grumma. What else would be a good grumma?
For nezik, though, right? Like a blanket over the hole at the beach?
You'd be chayav for nezik. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is that. That's the chiddush of bor. Without the chiddush of bor, you wouldn't be chayav. For nezik. Because it's just a grumma. That's why the Torah says the bor becomes like yours. So then it's like momen amazik. But without that mechanism of making the bor, without the mechanism of making the digger of the bor, the owner of the bor, you wouldn't be chayav for nezek even. Right? That's the Gemara says. Two things are not in your rishus, and the Torah puts it in your rishus. Chametz after Zman Isser, and bor b'rishus rab. So you dig it, you own it. You own it, you chayav for its nezek. But otherwise, it wouldn't be. Why? Because you just placed an object on the ground, and you didn't bring it to the person or the person to it. You just placed it in a situation where the person could wander to it and fall in. As your involvement stopped early, it didn't your involvement, your maisa did not deliver it to the person. It was to the ground. You just dug a hole in the ground. There was no object that you were qualifying. You have to qualify the gavra with your object, with the maisa of... you have to know as your maisa, your active maisa has to eventuate in the... has to terminate in the in the Misa of the Gavra.
So if I threw a rock at a guy and then he falls off a cliff, is that karma?
That's just that's just like an extended question of is that called pushing the guy?
Oh, that's just, is that my occupant? Never mind.
No, it's a good question. But did you push him off the cliff? Okay, now let's say I took the guy's head and I stuffed it under the water. Took his head and I plunged it under the water and I held him there. Okay, so I'm certainly chayav for that. Why am I chayav for that? Because the water of the situation of water is the medium of his death. And I brought him to the medium of his death.
No different than using a knife.
Right. Now let's say I have a machine that crushes something. Every 5 seconds it slams down.
A metal crusher.
It's automatic. Every 5 seconds it goes bam, bam, right? And I stick the guy's head in there in the middle of in between the 5 seconds.
Why not,
right? So that would be like putting him in the water, no?
Yeah.
It would be like putting him in the water.
Yeah, it's a death trap.
Right? So it doesn't matter that there's something else that is actually killing him, right? You brought him to that something else.
It's like bringing him to a fire.
That's right. Okay. So the question then is, so now the Gemara is saying that technically speaking, if he's under the water already, and you hold him there, so what do we have? You don't have a maisa of being mekarev him to anything. Right? So you would say, technically speaking, you did not do the maisa of ritzicha. As unpleasing as that result is. So what is the case, though? But it's not a grumma, it's not an ordinary case of grumma either. Because I think in the ordinary case of grumma, you do a maisa, okay, but one of the elements is completely missing. Okay? In other words, maybe I dug the hole, so that's an agent of death, but there was no gavra. Right? In other words, my maisa was complete without any, one of the elements. Or maybe I, like Tosa says, tied the guy up so he can't go get any food, but I didn't deliver any agent of death. Right? In other words, what I'm trying to say is that there are three elements in the full maisa. Okay, there's your involvement, there's the victim, and then there is the agent of his death, the cause of his death, right? To be a full maisa, your action has to deliver, has to culminate, or has to predicate, is what is the proper term, the agent of death onto the victim. Right. Hold on. When you're talking about grumma, a pure grumma, I think it's because you're missing you're completely missing the agent of death. Your maisa is completely your maisa does not include one of those two. It doesn't include a mamis, or it doesn't predicate on a gavra.
Okay.
What are examples of this?
So one example would be if you'd like Tosus has, if you tied the guy up in a situation where there is no mamis, and something kills him. Well, let's say you pushed him into the water that he could have gotten out of. Right.
That's not
a mamis, because it was not an agent of death when you pushed him in. So that would just be, you were just a grumma. Right. Or you do something deadly, but it's not on the guy. The guy's not there. You dig a pit. So you didn't actually predicate your Misa on any individual.
Here's Mikhail himself.
Right.
But you were involved in Mins.
You were involved in killing him because you produced, your involvement was in bringing about the object, but not to the guy.
Right.
So bringing the object to the guy, bringing the Mamus to the guy, I don't want to say object because it's just anything that's the Mamus, to the guy, that was taking that Cheftza and applying it to him is your full Misa. Taking the deadly agent and applying it to the guy like a coat of paint, that's your Misa of Misa. That's the full Misa of Rotzeach.
So in the case
okay.
of tying him up and letting him starve is that you're not bringing an agent of a deadly agent to the guy?
I mean, that's a difficult case, but that's what, yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah. So the so what's Mitzamtzem then? So Mitzamtzem is where your involvement is not in delivering the object, not delivering the method, but it does create the method in a passive way. In other words, your involvement, the reason why Mitzamtzem is a good case, is an interesting case, is because you are involved, right? You didn't bring anything to anybody, but your involvement turned the thing into the Dover HaMemus.
Different way of
the
Makariv.
Exactly. Right? All it's lacking is your active involvement of Makariv. But your involvement is there, right? And your involvement is in effect changing the water, which was just, you know, relaxing to the guy a minute ago, into a deadly agent. Okay, that's why I didn't mention in my grammar cases the involvement in the Gavra. I didn't mention that in the grammar. I know so you were going to ask me that. But I wanted to leave that out for a minute. So that's the middle, that's the interesting case of Mitzamtzem. That his involvement is doing something, but qualitatively, not physically. It does have a qualitative effect. His involvement changes the quality of the water from recreation to murder, right? It changes the quality, but it doesn't have any physical effect. Physically speaking, he's just maintaining the relationship that existed, just preventing a change in the physical. So he's not Mekarev physically, but he is Mekarev qualitatively. So that's why it's an interesting question, I think.
That makes him high.
That makes this case roy for the inclusion of O. Right? When the Torah says, not only the guy who physically is Mekarev, the Mamus is Chayev, but someone else, who is the someone else that makes sense to include? The guy who's not physically Mekarev it, but qualitatively is Mekarev it. Meaning to say that when the guy's head was under the water, he wasn't in a deadly situation. My involvement makes it deadly.
Right. So I didn't put him anywhere new. I just made the situation different.
That's right.
But why aren't you
doing this thing?
That's right. So in a sense, I'm ushering in the deadliness of the situation. Doesn't require a physical bringing.
But that
bringing.
Is the physical.
No.
That your mice is a physical.
You can't bring him to a new place.
In other words, that's what's interesting about the case. It's a conversion into a deadly situation, which doesn't necessitate a physical action. If I take a knife and you plunge it into someone's chest, so it's only the makarev that makes it deadly. It's the fact that the knife is in his chest that's the deadly situation. And that's only attainable by action. But there are certain situations that are not intrinsically deadly, it's just because of the duration that they're deadly. So then I can be considered conceptually a makarev by maintaining it. Okay, let's move a little bit ahead. Let's take a look at the next couple cases, and then we'll think about them. Okay. So Omar Rava. Let's take the next case. Nayin Zayin. Omar Rava. Kofso umeis biro'ov. Okay, this is really where the big stuff comes in now. This is really where we start splitting the fine chilukim. And hopefully, if we started out okay, hopefully we'll be able to manage. Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't really thought everything through. So it's like this. Kofso umeis biro'ov. Kofso, what does that mean? It means he tied him up, okay, and he died of hunger. Potter. Rava says he's potter. Rashi. Dibisho'o shekofso ein kan dovor hariga. There's no agent of death. When he tied him up, he wasn't exposing him, nothing. There was no agent of death. V'ha'ra'av bo'o me'elav v'holech v'chazok l'achazman kol shah. And the hunger just crept up on him. Slowly, slowly, little by little. Velo domi litzamtzem b'mayim uba'or d'ha'horeg mizuman. It's not like a guy who's in the water and you maintain him there. Because there, the horeg, the killer, is set. Prepared. Mizuman means prepared. Yeah, the water was there.
Why don't we say that a lack of action sometimes can be the agent of death?
The lack of action would mean the inability to feed yourself, you mean?
No. On the person who ties up, the lack of giving him the food is the agent of death.
So that's lo samor adam reecha, but you're definitely not chayav misa for that. I mean, if I see somebody, drowning, and I can save him, but I don't... That's not even a grama.
No, okay, but that's not the same case as saying I threw him into the water, I saw him drowning now, and now I don't save him. I tied him up. He would have been fine without me tying him up. So my lack of action.
So that's interesting. That's interesting. We didn't really take up your question. That seems to be the havamina of the other side, that if I threw him into the non-deadly situation and he died, then I'm chayev. That sounds similar. Maybe that's what we didn't define that mask that having me over there. But since you delivered him to the situation, the consequences of that situation are yours.
Right, yeah.
But we don't hold that way because we go by the maisa. We say you need a maisa. And you're right. We should think about that kamash v'lan over there. But let's just take all the facts. Okay, ready? So he says, if you tie him up and he starves to death, you're potter. V'amar Rava kofso bechama umeis, bitzina umeis chayev. If you tied him up in the sun, or in the cold, then you'll be chayev. Okay. Sof chama lavo, sof tzina lavo, potter. But Rashi klomer im lo hayosasham chama b'sho'o shekofso. At the time that you tied him up, the sun wasn't there. It was midnight. of Osof Lovokan, but eventually the sun is going to come. Vizeh lo yochol lamod, and he's unable to remove himself from where the sun is going to come. Vizeh olamos, and you know he's going to die. Potter. Shelo hoya ha-horeg mizuman lahariga. Vigromahu. Ve'ein dino moser le-bastin el le-shamayim. His din is not given to Basin. Very hard, right?
Doesn't make any sense.
We know the sun is coming. Why is that not Mizuman? Yeah.
But it's like the thing you read before in Rashi, that the deadly agent was not prepared yet. It starts at zero, it's not deadly because it's not cold or it's not in the sun. And then it gradually grows to the point where it becomes a deadly agent. Even though you know the deadly agent is guaranteed, that this non-deadly agent is guaranteed to become deadly, when you put him into the situation, it was non-deadly. That sounds like a reasonable distinction.
So that's like one of the grommas I was saying before, you mean? That
so
the agent is not there. You're lacking... one of the entities.
But it's more
like
than that. It's that it's guaranteed to be there. So it's one step closer to being your action, to being a
right
person. But it's still...
still in the realm of Brahma, because... All right, let's go a little bit more. Hold on. V'omar Rava Kofso... Rava thought a lot about this area. Kofso lifnei Ari Pater. If you tied a person up in front of a lion, you're also Pater. Rashi di nami lo hoya kofos. Rashi learns, I think, differently in Tosis. He says, because if he wasn't tied up either, lo hoya yochol lahatzil atzmo min ha'ari. Doesn't matter, tied up or not tied up. It's going to kill him either way.
It's like a difference.
That's different. It's completely different.
Yeah.
That means he already is in the situation. He already
right
is. The maimus is already there.
Right.
You're not adding anything.
No,
that'd be like your case. The knife is already in his chest and
right
you twisted it. It doesn't
this
do anything.
Is this a case of a guy putting someone into a pine pit?
No, he's there already. Somehow you lasso him.
Yeah.
Right?
But you would have
keep his arms...
He fell into the lion pit on his own.
He fell into the lion pit,
and now you,
and then you drop a rope around him and you tie him up.
If he would have been able to get out, it seems like Thompson.
Right.
Well, I don't understand the case of the sun.
Yeah, that's the hard case. Hold on, one more time. V'oma lifne yitushin chayev. But if he was in front, if you tied him in front of bees or mosquito, whatever, gnats, some sort of stinging insect, then you'd be chayev. Ravashi Omar, afilu lifnei yitushin nami pater. He says, even in front of the bees, you'll be pater. Why? Hani azli vahani asu. Rashi. Hani azli, these come. I'm sorry, these leave, and these come. V'lo meis ayidei yitushim harishonim shahayu muchonim sham. In other words, when you tied him up, there was the first set of stinging insects. Those were mezuman. But those don't kill him. Right? Shekama kitos avru olav. It takes the second and third and fourth wave of bees that are going to kill him, but those weren't there when you tied him up.
How do they think that this is different than the case of tying a guy up in front of an ari?
Oh, so tying a guy up in front of the lion, you can't escape, you can't fend off the lion.
He's
right
already in the deadly situation, and
right
you're just tying him up.
But if the guy has his hands free, he could swat away the bees, apparently. Right. So therefore, Rava said, you'll be chayev if you tie up the guy's hands from the yitushim. But Rav Ashi says, you'll be pater. Why? Because the only thing that was mezuman when you tied him up was the first set of stingers. But those aren't deadly. It's an accumulative effect of being stung over and over and over and over again. Okay, so that's a little detail. Okay, so
that's
those
like,
are all the
that's
weird
like
cases.
The deadly action, the deadly
that's right. So what I'd like to do is go through these Tosfin with Kofso and Mace. Okay, and see how he tries to differentiate the sun and the hunger. Okay, those are that's the big question. The sun and the hunger.
Yeah, because you knew
the same case.
Now, then there are really weird cases later on, too. I mean, if you have time, just run through the cases. You have a really interesting cases later also. It says, Haiman da aili l'chavre bebesa de shashisha. A guy brought his friend into a stone house, meaning there's very little air circulating in there, Rashi says. V'idlik le shraga umes. And then he lit a candle in that room, and then the guy died, he'll be chayev.
Does it take up the oxygen?
Well, they don't look at it that way, but yeah. He says, because it filled it with the smoke, and that's now he can't get out.
It's like a tiny place.
Right. So he says, but just locking him in there alone is not enough.
Right. That's crazy.
All kinds of...
So if the guy's inside...